From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Okay, if we didn't get enough of it before the break, we got it there. Of course, actor and musician Will Smith performing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song. That show ran for 6 seasons in the 90s. Its main character, also named Will Smith, moved from Philadelphia to live with his uncle and aunt in the wealthy L.A. suburb of Bel-Air. In the upcoming book series, revives the plot with a new character, Destiny. She's a fresh princess. And Deneen Milner is writing the books. She of the New York Times best-selling author and GPB Seat at the Table fame. Deneen, welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you with us. So did you grow up watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I sure did. But you know what? Will and I are around the same age. I think I may have a year on him. And so, no. We're both the same age. We turned 50 at the same time. And I grew up on his music, right? So I was listening to him when he was with DJ Jazzy Jeff, whom I still listen to, who still makes great music as a DJ out of Philly. And so I was more familiar with his music. And when he showed up on television, it was like we thought that he was adorable to begin with, and now we get to see him right in our living rooms every week.
And that was a super influential show. I mean, not just because, like, fashion-wise, I mean, it was the first time a lot of people had seen anything like a rapper on television.
Absolutely. But, you know, like, what I remember being sort of glomming into with that show was the family, the mother and the father, and the relationship between the cousins and certainly the siblings, and sort of the everyday experiences that they completely, you know, like, put into our living rooms every week. Mm-hmm. I identified with it not just because of the music and the celebrity of Will Smith as a rapper, but because what they were talking about and what they were dealing with were things that we were dealing with as kids, teenagers at the time.
Yeah, it just felt real.
Yeah.
Well, now you're collaborating with Will Smith on this 3-book series. I'm sure quite a few people would just love to even meet him, never mind work with him. How did this all come together?
So, you know, I write books for a living, and I also...
A lot of books.
A lot of books for a living, and I write children's books. And I wrote a piece in the New York Times about the proliferation of Black children's books, or books featuring Black children's characters, and how they always seem to be focused on civil rights figures, or they're focused on, Black firsts, or they're talking about slavery. And I wrote a piece that said something to the effect of Black children don't want to read about Harriet Tubman all the time. And his people saw that piece. I wrote it because I had just started my own children's book imprint and made a point of saying that I would never do those books on my imprint because there were everyday experiences that Black children had the right to see themselves in these books, and see them portrayed in a way that they just aren't, they don't tend to be in Black children's books. And so his people saw that piece, and apparently they were looking for a writer for the series right when they saw that piece. So it was kind of serendipitous. And I did an interview with them, and here we are.
So I just want to pull a quote from that piece because, you know, you write that it doesn't have to be about the struggle all the time. In fact, real diversity would celebrate the mundane.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what does that mean to you?
That means that Black children lose their first tooth and have to put it under their pillow and wait for the tooth fairy just like everybody else. That means Black children get on the bus every day and, you know, go to school and have different kinds of experiences on the bus. That deserve to be talked about. Black children go to kindergarten for the first time and they're scared and they're trying to figure out how to make friends and how to get the teacher to like them and how to learn and grow. And that deserves to be celebrated. And it happens. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen in Black children's books, but you are more than likely to go into a bookstore right now and find way more books about slavery, the civil rights movement, or someone who bounced a basketball for the first time or hit a baseball for the first time or was a jazz musician than you are sort of the everyday experience of all children, including Black children.
Well, you spend a lot of time thinking about children as a mother yourself, but you also work for parenting.
Yes.
And you have the website My Brown Baby, which a lot of people follow. But I'm thinking about, you know, in Fresh Prince, Will Smith's character, great, charismatic, fun. He wore checkered pants.
Lots of colors, bright colors.
Lots of colors. Now in real life, he's a dad. Right. And he says his own kids would have loved Fresh Princess growing up. So what is this character like? What is this main character? Her name is Destiny.
Oh, goodness. Destiny is just juicy and full of goodness. And she is, you know, she marches to her own beat. She is honest and forthright and funny. And she goes through experiences that are kind of haphazard. And then she kind of has to figure out how to make it right. And she figures that out with integrity, you know, for a kid who is smart and being raised by two parents who are thoughtful and loving, being the little sister of a big sister who kind of guides the way for her and sort of encourages her to fix her problems with integrity, but to, you know, like have fun doing it. So she is kind of a spin on the Fresh Prince, you know, just kind of getting into sort of situation. She has her crew that she gets introduced to on the block. The first book focuses on her family moving to West Philadelphia. So she's not moving to Bel Air.
Uh-huh.
She's moving from a town that we do not say what it is, and she's moving back to West Philadelphia, which is, of course, where the Fresh Prince moved from to go to Bel Air, and also where Will Smith is from. And so it's a love letter to West Philadelphia. So if you're from West Philly, you'll see all different kinds of homages to the neighborhood and the growth and the art and the culture. And Fresh Princess is sitting right in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm. So you have not only written books, children's books, and you've started, as you said, your own imprint. So in publishing language, this is kind of a distinct category
yes.
of books under the umbrella of a publisher. Yours, Deneen Milner Books. So what are some of the challenges or questions that you face when deciding to start your own imprint? This is a big job, right?
Yeah, it is. It is, but it's a fun job. It's I get to go and work with writers who love the written word and babies and illustrators who love bringing those stories to life. And, you know, the beauty of the imprint is that I get to do what I want to and to find people who are willing to tell the stories that I want to bring to life. And so, in the first year, Deneen Milner Books published four books, and one of them, The Crown and Ode to the Fresh Cut by Derek Barnes and illustrated by Gordon C. James, won 8 prestigious awards.
The Newbery Honor.
Right.
Caldecott. I mean, these are huge awards.
Absolutely. And the Kirkus Prize and Society of Illustrators Awards. I think that the reason why it resonates so beautifully with readers, with kids, with teachers, librarians, moms, dads, is because it talks about the everyday experience of a little black boy going to get his hair cut and how he feels when he's sitting in the chair and puts on his princely robes and gets that horsetail, swipe down the neck and to get the hair off the back of his neck. And he's seeing, you know, like an uncle to his left and, you know, like a really important guy to his right. And they're all just, you know, everyday people. And that's the celebration there. And that's what really resonates. I go and I read that book. I read that book to 17-year-old and 16-year-old black boys at Grady High School, and they giggled like 5-year-olds. They just love that book. And so those are the kinds of books that I adore, that I want to read to my kids when they go to sleep at night, that, you know, serve as the great saying is you want children's books to serve as a window and a mirror. Mm-hmm. So it's a mirror for black children to be able to see themselves, but it's also a window for everyone else to be able to see how we truly live and how we truly love and what's important to black children, and that's to be treated like humans.
Yeah. Well, something that doesn't happen every day is finding a dragon. And
right? Oh, yes.
One of the first books you purchased was "There's a Dragon in My Closet." There's a young African American boy. So
yes.
Why that? What stood out to you about that?
Well, what stood out to me about that is I went and talked to Charlie Palmer, who is a local. He's based here in Atlanta. He's a fine artist, but does these the most magnificent art. It's just gorgeous. And I'm a huge art lover.
I got to say, Crown is a beautiful book.
And Gordon C. James was the first, that was his first book that he ever illustrated. And he was a fine artist out of North Carolina. And of course he can do illustrations for children's books. He's an artist, right? So I went to Charlie's office or his studio to see if he would be willing to illustrate another book that I had in mind. And he says, you know, like in one of these boxes over here, I have a book that I wrote years ago with my ex-wife, and it's about a little boy who thinks there's a dragon in his closet, and you know, like you can't tell if he's using his imagination to, you know, excuse all of the shenanigans that he gets to in around his house, and he blames it on this dragon, or if this dragon is real. And he's like, you know, let me go over here and look in this box. And he goes into the corner and he rumbles through this box and he comes out with, there's a dragon in my closet. It's already illustrated, written, everything. And I'm like,
I just happened to
have that. Thanks. And it is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, what resonated with me with that book was my stepson, Mozzie, when he was little, he had an imaginary friend called Mozzie Boo. And whenever cookies came up missing or, you know, somebody drank the cat's milk or, you know, there was a crayon Picasso on the wall, Mozzie Boo did it. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is what little black boys do. Like, this is what little boys do. Mm-hmm. But little black boys do this too. And so absolutely, this makes all the sense in the world. Let's do it.
You started with a smaller publishing house called Agate, then Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers acquired this imprint. So what does having big name muscle like that mean for what you want to do for the books you want to publish?
Oh, goodness. So, you know, my experience with Agate, I'm forever grateful to them because Doug Seibel, the publisher at Agate, we came to the table with the same idea that we wanted to produce these specific kind of books. And then Simon Schuster came along and kind of opened wide the possibilities. You know, we were dealing with small budgets at Agate. Simon & Schuster has infinite resources. They have a marketing, an entire marketing team, an entire advertising team, a sales team that's been in the business for forever. They understand the market. They understand how to sell children's books and books that I couldn't acquire at Agate because I didn't have the budget for it. I can now purchase them at Simon & Schuster. And mm-hmm. so it just sort of elevates my ability to do my job.
Well, and I guess the job's getting bigger. But this is something, I mean, you're an author who's written a number of successful books for adult readers as well, collaborated with people like Steve Harvey, Taraji Henson. I think you worked with Jesse Norman, Magic Johnson. I mean, this is so. What is that process like of working on a book with somebody else, not necessarily a writer, mm-hmm. but have a great story to tell? Mm-hmm. How does that, what's the difference between that kind of collaboration sure. and ghostwriting, let's say?
Well, you know, my background is as a journalist. Yeah. I started out as a political reporter and then got tired of seeing that sausage being made and became an entertainment journalist and then an editor. And so I bring that to the table. To me, it's just sort of a really super long profile, an entertainment profile. It's me sitting and talking to them, figuring out what it is that they want to say to their audience, and then devising an outline that's pretty rudimentary. It can be as simple as me writing some notes on the back of an envelope. Mm-hmm. Like, really, that's how it goes down.
But these are people who are really conscious of the brand, who they are, what they're selling. I mean, how do you manage that?
We sit and we just talk. You know, I don't want to say that I become friends with them because that's not my job. It's not my job to be their friend. But we do sit and we just have conversations. I don't look at it as we're going to sit down, I'm going to ask you a bunch of really hard questions and I'm going to put you on the hot seat. That's not what the point is. The point is for us to have conversations and to have them tell me about their lives. And then we sit down, I sit down and I translate what we've talked about into a narrative that makes sense for their brand, that makes sense for their journey, that makes sense for who they are as human beings. And it's easy because it's just a translation of a really good conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know, conversation is what you do, partially, in books. And also you're a co-host of GPB's A Seat at the Table. So I'm just wondering, with all these things you've got, blogging, writing, the imprint, television, where does that energy come from?
I don't know. I came in here like, ooh, Lordy, I'm tired. you know what? I just turned 50 in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it is an awesome, awesome decade. I just feel like I'm living life and I'm doing what I'm passionate about. And, you know, everything that I do is focused on the African-American experience. I grew up in this industry as a journalist, as a writer, being told that what I was doing was pigeonholing myself by just talking about Black folks. And I never looked at it that way. I always looked at covering African-Americans as like a beat, no different from being a correspondent in China, or no different from covering tech, or no different from covering politics. It's just fun to me to be able to shine a light and explore all of these different genres, or to explore the African-American experience through all these different genres. And so long as, you know, the opportunity is presented to me, I'm going to take it.
Deneen Milner, what a pleasure speaking with you.
It was great talking to you, too. Thank you for having me.
The first book in the Fresh Princess series comes out on April 2nd. Now, throughout the show today, we've been hearing from some kids who really are good at spelling. They're in Atlanta today for the state spelling bee, and the winner could advance to the Scripps National Spelling Bee in May. Here's Abby from Suwannee, set to the tune of Pandemonium from the Tony-winning musical, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
My name is Abiram Kapaganti. I'm in 7th grade and I'm from Suwannee. I kind of got interested in 3rd grade and my parents told me there was a national spelling bee. So I was interested, and ever since 4th grade started, I've been preparing and going further and further each year. I study about 1 to 2 hours on weekdays and 2 to 3 hours over weekends. There's a lot of ways words can be spelled, because sometimes they aren't spelled how they sound. There are many words for one definition. Chastushka, C-H-A-S-T-U-S-H-K-A. Yeah, it's a type of poem. Good luck to all the other competitors.
Hyacinth. I still remember losing on Hyacinth. Virginia Prescott, thanking you for listening with us today. We'll be back on Monday with more of On Second Thought.